final chapter in our study this weekend. I want to say a few things about Secrets Unsealed and some TV. I retired about 10 years ago. Retired from denominational employment. I was pastor of Fresno Central Church for 20 years. I wore the saints down. Now, I think that if you check with them, I was okay. But 10 years ago, I was in good health, still am. I don't find the word retirement in the Bible. And my voice is still good. My mind is relatively clear. So I said, why should I ride off into the sunset? Let's continue going. And so we've done many anchors. It's a school of theology. By the way, the next anchor is a week from Monday. You can still sign up. It's prophecy's sequential chain. It's actually a very, very important series for this time. It's going to be a study of Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 12, 13, and 17. And I show how each one expands upon the previous one. And when you've studied all of them together, you have a complete picture of Bible prophecy from the days of Nebuchadnezzar till the final movements. So that's going to be a week from Monday. It's very intensive. It's 4 hours a day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sabbath. It ends on Sabbath evening. But we have a good number. We have probably between 50 and 60 that have signed up from all over the United States and from other countries. And you know, if you want to come, you're welcome. We don't live stream it. And the main reason that we don't live stream is because if we do, people don't come. And there's something about being there and being able to ask questions. For each session, we have a Q&A period. And the fellowship with one another, praying together, eating together, that cannot be replaced by a Zoom meeting. And so because of that, we do not broadcast our Anchor School of Theology. However, down the road, after the post-production editors do the editing, the study notes are about 260 pages, and you know, the presentations will be available on DVD, and you'll be able to get them down the road. It'll be several months because we're way behind in our post-production editing. We have so many productions and so few editors that it takes a while to get everything edited and aired. So we do an Anchor School of Theology. We do a summit every year in the month of October. We go to a real nice place, and we just kind of rest a while there. We start on a Wednesday night and end Sunday at noon. We are doing a full Sabbath school class in English and Spanish now for every week. We have I'd Like to Know, which is a question and answer program. It's done in English and in Spanish. We do a worship service sermon for each week in English and in Spanish. And so basically, that's one of the services that we provide. We're sustained by donations. At first, when we started Secrets Unsealed, the only way that we could sustain ourselves was through sales. Nobody knew us. But in the course of time, we came to be known internationally and across the United States. So probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we decided that we would put everything available for free. So if you download our app, you can read all of our study notes and download them if you want. And you can watch all of the DVD presentations for free. Because the purpose of our ministry is to reach as many people as possible, and there are very few who are able to purchase the materials. So we decided that we just put it out there for people to watch and to read if they want. And the Lord has sustained us. You know, only about 5% of our income is sales. 95% is donations. So the Lord sustained us mainly through the prayers of the saints and through the donations that people give because they believe in what we're doing. So come down and visit us sometime. We have our offices there in Fresno. And so if you're on your way to L.A., just stop by. It's right next to the highway. And we'll give you the grand tour of our facility. You'll get acquainted with all of our people. Right now we have 20 employees, full-time employees, of which many are post-production editors because they have to edit the programs before they're actually aired. We're broadcasting presently in all of the Central Valley of California on free-to-air programming. You know, if they have rabbit ears, those who are not able to get cable or not able to get satellite, they can get our programming. We're broadcasting in all of Costa Rica. We're broadcasting in Guatemala. We're broadcasting in Peru. And for quite a while there, we were broadcasting in the UK. And so we're trying to open up as many avenues as possible, particularly in Latin America. We have a passion to serve the Hispanic-speaking community because there are very few ministries that major in prophecy and our doctrines are heavy present truth doctrines that have ministries that have a Spanish arm to the ministry. So we have a burden to have both. We have speakers that speak English and we have speakers who speak Spanish. And so the Lord is blessing abundantly. Keep us in your prayers. And if you want to donate, you can do that too. All right. The recreation of the heavens and the earth. After the destruction of the wicked, God through Christ, is going to do once again what he did at the beginning. He is going to put the planet in order. He's going to fill it. He is going to enlighten it. And he is going to fill it with life. How many days do you think he's going to take to make a new heavens and a new earth? I'll give you one guess. How many believe that Jesus is going to take 7 days? 6 days of work and a seventh day of rest. How many believe that? Some of you are saying, let's wait to see what Pastor Poor says. The bottom line is, folks, that Jesus is going to take 7 days like he did at the beginning. You say, how do you know that? It's as obvious as a freight train. We are going to keep the Sabbath in commemoration of the new creation. But to have a seventh day, you have to have the first six. Correct? You get it? Oh, the seventh day is the sign of the new creation, and you don't have the first six. So Jesus is going to take 6 days to recreate, and the seventh day he's going to cease, and we will cease. Our first day will be ceasing, because Jesus is going to do all the work. And then when he finishes, he's going to give it to us. By the way, do you know that when he makes a new heavens and new earth, he's going to say it is done or it is finished? He said in creation, he said finished the sixth day. In redemption on the cross, he said it is finished. And at the end, he's going to say it is finished. Notice Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 7. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 7. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. So in all three cases, it is done, it is finished, it is finished. And then, of course, what are we going to keep in commemoration of the new creation? Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, we'll come back to that in a moment, and from one Sabbath to another, all the Jews, you're still awake, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Which day are we going to go worship before the Lord? From Sabbath to Sabbath. So are we going to keep the Sabbath in the earth made new? Of course we are. In commemoration of what? Creation, redemption, and recreation. Three reasons to keep the Sabbath. Not only one. By the way, who's going to do all the work? Jesus is going to do all the work. How much work are we going to do? None. So when Jesus ceases from his work of recreation, are we going to cease with him after he does the work? Yes, just like at the beginning. But there's going to be a difference between creation and recreation. When Jesus created everything originally, Adam and Eve did not see Jesus create anything. First day they weren't around. Second day they weren't around. Third day they were not there. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And when God created Adam, Adam did not see his own creation. And when God created Eve, he put Adam to sleep. How could Adam and Eve know that God was the creator? Because he said so, by faith. But the beauty, when Jesus makes new heavens and new earth, the redeemed will be alive and there. Imagine, let there be light. Eyewitnesses. Let there be the firmament. Let the earth be filled with trees and flowers and green grass. Sun, moon, and stars, occupy your places. Trees filled with birds. Waters bubbling forth with marine creatures. The earth filled with animals. And God's people, eyewitnesses of all of it. Then we shall not walk by faith. We shall walk by sight. Amen. Now let's talk a little bit about the new moon. There's Adventists who get all hung up on the new moon. They say, we have to celebrate the new moon. Well, let me share with you some interesting information. The overwhelming times that the word that is translated new moon appears in the Old Testament, it is translated month. Only 9 times of over 270 times the word, because it's only one word, new moon, only 9 times of the 270 is it translated new moon. The rest of the times it's translated month. That's important. Let me ask you this. What does the version say in Spanish? De mes en mes. Doesn't say luna nueva y luna nueva. It says de mes en mes. That's beautiful language, isn't it? Y de sábado en sábado. So in Spanish, it's translated month. That's a proper translation. It's not telling us that we're supposed to celebrate the new moons of the ceremonial system. The new moon is the beginning of the month. So the question is, why would it say that we're going to go from new moon or from month to month? Because it's a tree that produces its fruit every month. It's a battery charger. Why do you suppose that people before the flood lived to be almost 1,000 years old? Because they had a fully charged battery. Why do people today live 80, 90, 100 maybe? Big difference. Because they're not able to charge the battery at the tree of life. But you know the text. It's in Revelation 22 and verse 2. It says, in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. So God's people are going to go weekly and monthly to worship before the Lord. By the way, Ellen White understood the link or the connection between the creation Sabbath, the redemption Sabbath, and the restoration Sabbath. I want to read from the devotional book, To Be Like Jesus, page 162. Ellen White discerned that the Sabbath is more than just a sign of creation. She understood it's a sign of creation, it's a sign of redemption, and it's a sign of recreation. We have 3 reasons to keep the Sabbath. 2 are historical, and the other is prophetic. This is what she wrote. In the beginning, the Father and the Son had rested upon the Sabbath after their work of creation. When the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them, the Creator and all the heavenly beings rejoiced in the contemplation of the glorious scene. The morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So that's creation. Now she's going to move to redemption. Now Jesus rested from the work of redemption. He's in the tomb. And though there was grief among those who loved him on earth, yet there was joy in heaven. Glorious, now comes the third dimension, glorious to the eyes of the heavenly beings was the promise of the future. With this scene, the day upon which Jesus rested is forever linked. For his word is perfect, and whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now she goes to the end time dimension of the Sabbath. When there shall be a restitution of all things, which God has appointed by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, the creation Sabbath, the day on which Jesus lay at rest in Joseph's tomb, will still be a day of rest and rejoicing. 3 dimensions. Heaven and earth will unite in praise as from one Sabbath to another, the nations of the saved shall bow in joyful worship to God and to the Lamb. Now, Pope John Paul II wrote a famous pastoral letter called Dies Domini. The Lord's Day is the translation. And he said in that pastoral letter that when we get to the new earth, we will celebrate an eternal Sunday. Now, why would he say that? He said that for the simple reason that Revelation 21 and verse 23 says something very interesting. The city had no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it, the Lamb is its light. So he says, see, in the city, there's not going to be any sun or moon. So how can you have months and how can you have weeks and days if there's no sun or moon? He didn't read carefully. It says, the city had no need of sun or moon. Doesn't say that in the city there's no sun or moon. It says there is no need in the city, not on the whole earth, in the city there's no need of sun or moon. For the glory of God illuminated it, the Lamb is its light. Let me give you an illustration. Today was a radiant day, the sun out, beautiful. Now imagine I'm walking downtown Sacramento, and I have a flashlight at midday, the beam is on, and I'm shining the flashlight on the ground. People say that guy's crazy. Can you see the beam shining on the ground? No, why not? Because the light of the sun eclipses it. But the beam of the flashlight is on. But it is eclipsed by the sun. Same way in the city. Yeah, the sun and moon, they're going to shine. But the glory of Christ in the city eclipses. I like the way that Isaiah expressed it. Very vivid. Isaiah 24, 23, it says, the moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. Let me read you the statement by Pope John Paul II, paragraph 84 of Dies Domini. He wrote, then from Sunday to Sunday, enlightened by Christ, she goes forward towards the unending Sunday of the heavenly Jerusalem, which has no need, I was going to quote Revelation 21, 23, which has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. So it's going to be an eternal Sunday according to him. Evidently, he didn't get the memo from Isaiah 66, where it speaks about a new heavens and a new earth. Now, let's talk about memorials, memorial monuments. Human beings build memorials where important and memorable events took place. For example, there's the Oklahoma City Memorial. Timothy McVeigh blew up the federal building there. There's a memorial, 153 chairs, I think it is. I've been there. What is the meaning of that memorial? It's commemorating a historical event that happened there. You have a World Trade Center memorial. It commemorates an event that happened there. You have the Shanksville Memorial in Pennsylvania, where that other airplane went down. And that place has a memorial. The very place where the event occurred is where the memorial is. However, God did not build a memorial in a certain place to commemorate creation. Because the event was worldwide. So he had to make a worldwide memorial Because the event took place all over the world, creation. So God did something very wise. He made a memorial composed of time. And the memorial comes to us. We don't have to go to the memorial. Every week the memorial comes to us, commemorating the global event of creation. Ellen White wrote this very interesting statement, Patriarchs and Prophets 1:11. The first 6 days of each week are given to man for labor because God employed the same period of the first week in the work of creation. On the seventh day, man is to refrain from labor in commemoration of the Creator's rest. Which day did the Creator rest? So which is the memorial of the Creator's rest? The Sabbath. Now that's an important point. So we see that God's memorial is a global memorial composed of time. Is the day of the memorial important? Yes. Let me give you some illustrations. My wife and I were married over 53 years ago. It's a long time. December 23, 1971. What day do you suppose we celebrate our anniversary? December 23, duh. What would my wife say if I said, you know, we've been doing this for 53 years, let's just break the routine. Let's do January 23. She would say, are you crazy? We weren't married on January 23. The United States celebrates Independence Day on July 4. Why on July 4? Because that's the day when the original event took place. If you're going to celebrate an event, you have to celebrate it on the very day on which it occurred. That's why Sunday cannot be a memorial of creation, because Sunday was not the day that God rested. Let me read you a statement by Pope Benedict XVI. How somebody so intelligent can be so foolish. This is what he said. This is in a homily. A homily in the Catholic Church is like a sermon. He gave it at St. Peter's Basilica, Holy Saturday, 23 April 2011. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. So far, so good, right? After 6 days in which man, in some sense, participates in God's work of creation. Man did not participate in his work of creation. He continues, the Sabbath is the day of rest. Okay, good, good. You say, Benedict is on the right track. But something quite unprecedented happened in the nascent church. In other words, the church that was being born. The place of the Sabbath, the seventh day, was taken by the first day. As the day of the liturgical assembly, that's the day that Catholics go to church. It is as a day of the liturgical assembly, it is the day for encounter with God through Jesus Christ, who as the risen Lord encountered his followers on the first day, Sunday, after they had found the tomb empty. Of course they met him on Sunday. That's when he resurrected. They couldn't meet him before. He continues, the structure of the week is overturned. No longer does it point towards the seventh day as the time to participate in God's rest. It sets out from the first day as a day of encounter with the risen Lord. This change is utterly extraordinary, considering that the Sabbath, the seventh day, seen as the day of encounter with God, is so profoundly rooted in the Old Testament. And then he says this, we celebrate the first day. And in so doing, we celebrate God the Creator and His creation. Zzz. You cannot celebrate creation on Sunday because that's not the day that God rested. And so he says, we celebrate the first day. And in so doing, we celebrate God the Creator and His creation. Yes, we believe in God, the Creator of heaven and earth. He doesn't know what he's saying. Or maybe he does. According to the Bible, the Sabbath is a day to suspend our weekly routine. It's a day to worship, to go to church, to sing hymns, to pray, to study the Word, to enjoy nature, to visit the sick and the shut-ins, to help the poor, to be with family, and to give the workers a well-deserved rest. The Sabbath. Pope Francis insulted the Lord when in his encyclical Laudato Si, paragraph 237, wrote this, Sunday like the Jewish Sabbath. That's an insult to the Lord to speak of the Jewish Sabbath. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. All of those are good objectives, but the correct day is Sabbath, not Sunday. Now, frequently, on airplanes sometimes, I get into discussions with people of other churches. And one day, I got into an interesting discussion about Sabbath and Sunday with somebody that was sitting next to me. He was defending Sunday as a day to be kept. And so I asked him a series of questions. I said, who created the light? He said, that's easy, God did. So who does the light belong to? To God. I said, who created the firmament? Oh, God. And I said, so to whom does the firmament belong? To God. Why? Well, because He made it. To whom does the vegetation belong? The trees and the flowers and the green grass. To who does it belong? Oh, it belongs to God. Why? Well, because He made it. So then I said, to whom do the sun, moon, and stars belong? He says, oh, of course to God. Why are you asking me these questions? They belong to God. I said, why? Because He made them. To whom do the birds and the fish belong? He says, I'm getting kind of tired of hearing these questions. They belong to God. I said, why? Because He made them. I said, to whom do the beasts of the field belong? He says, of course, to God. I said, why? Because God made them. And then I said, to whom do human beings belong? He says, to God. I said, why? He said, because God made them. So then I said, I had him where I wanted him. To whom does the Sabbath belong? There was a long pause. He didn't dare say to the Jews, because he knew that the Sabbath was made by Christ. He looked at me and said, you know, I hadn't thought about that. Food for thought. I don't know what happened with him. But it doesn't make any sense to say the Sabbath belongs to Jesus. Why? Because He made it, but it's of the Jews. It doesn't make any sense. Now, in the Bible, the Sabbath is called, in Exodus 20:11, the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In Ezekiel 20, verse 12, it says, you shall keep my Sabbaths, God says. In Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, God refers to the Sabbath as my holy day. In Mark 2, 27, Jesus says that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And in Exodus 16, 23, it's called the holy Sabbath of the Lord. Not once in all of the Bible is it called the Sabbath of the Jews. Now the Hebrew festivals that ended when Christ died are called feasts of the Jews. Notice, for example, in concluding, John 2 verse 13 says, it was the Passover of the Jews. In John 5 verse 1, it says it was the feast of the Jews. In John 6 verse 4, it says it was the Passover, a feast of the Jews. In John 7 verse 2, it says it was the Jews' feast of tabernacles. And in John 11, 55, it says the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. So when it comes to the Hebrew festivals, they are called festivals of the Jews. But never in anywhere in the Bible does it say that the Sabbath is a celebration of the Jews. So as Adventists, it is our responsibility to let people know about these things. You know, it's very difficult to break tradition. I remember that I once had a series of meetings in the city of, actually a town, Lovington, New Mexico, when I was the ministerial director and evangelist for the Texaco Conference. This elderly couple, very well dressed, dignified looking. You know, they came to several meetings. They came to the meeting where I presented the Sabbath. And I always make it a point to visit people who make their decision to keep the Sabbath. And so I went to visit them. And I asked them, what did you think about the presentation about God's holy Sabbath? And she looked at me and she says, there's no doubt whatsoever that the seventh day is the Sabbath. You proved it from the Bible. And so then I looked at her and said, I'm glad to hear that. So I hope to see you in church on Sabbath. She was Pentecostal. She looked at me and she says, oh yeah, the Sabbath is the right day, but we have the Holy Spirit. As if having the Holy Spirit trumps keeping the Sabbath. And they never came back. I pray that it sunk in, and eventually they made a decision. It's very difficult to break a tradition that has been in the family for generations. But God has many people in all of the churches that when crunch time comes, they are going to take their stand with the Lord. Amen. And I believe that by what we're seeing in the world today, that things are winding down very quickly. And now is the time for us to look up for the opportunity of sharing with others, planting seeds that leads them to reflect and to think about these things.